If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Book of Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one close to you or somewhere near. If not, share with your neighbor. So is everybody comfortable? You got your Bibles? Everybody ready? Let's stand together. And I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What a passage that's going to meet us right where we are. And so every week I say we should come with expectation. We should come with expecting for God to speak to our hearts. And I know we're in between books. I know we're not hitting everything expositionally right now. We're heading to the book of Mark. But man, can we just trust God to speak to us out of Ephesians chapter 4 today? Just trust God to say, you know what? Let's be reminded of our purpose. Let's be reminded of putting it into practice, the things that God has called us to do, that our lives be about that and nothing else. So let's do this. Let's pray. Just trust God to speak to us, and we'll jump in. Lord God, you're an amazing God, and Lord, thank you for gathering us together here this morning. Lord, to open up your word. We're so busy. We're so all over the place. Lord, I pray that we would put all that aside and just focus in right now and trust you to speak. Lord, we want to discover what our purpose is, but Lord, we also want to live it with purpose. We want to do both. So Lord, may we not just be informed today, but that we'd be transformed. So Lord, I pray that you illuminate your scriptures to us and speak through me as your vessel and nothing more. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Jesus, I pray. Amen. You be seated. All right, so we started off talking about, you know, just how busy we are, how life is busy, how we seem to be living in fast forward all the time. Okay, what's my purpose? How do I discover what it is? I mean, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing here? How do I find out what I'm supposed to be doing? And once I find out, what do I do? I mean, how do I put it into practice? Because that's the frustrating thing, isn't it? So, man, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad God has led us to this passage. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul is in prison when he's writing this to this church at Ephesus. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Why is he in prison? It's because he's been serving the Lord. He's been sharing the gospel, going from house to house, going from city to city. And now he's in Rome, and he's imprisoned, and he's writing this letter, and he's beseeching, he's begging, he's pleading with them. And look, here it is, verse 1, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That ye walk worthy. That word walk, it means to live your life, be occupied with. So walk, be occupied with, live your life. That's what he says. Then he uses that word worthy. Live your life with purpose. He says, do it. Worthy, and that word worthy literally means appropriately. It means like you're supposed to. Like you're supposed to. So that you would walk worthy of the vocation. This word vocation is the same word you find in the end of verse 4 as the word calling. Exact same Greek word. It means your calling, your vocation. What has God called you to? He says, wherewith you're called. Your calling with which you are called. And so if you're like me, I read this, I go, okay, yes, I want my life to be totally lived out for that purpose. Okay, what has God called me to? That's what I want to do, but I want to do it worthy, which means like I'm supposed to. And I don't know about you, but there are times where I just feel empty and clueless. Anybody else? I just feel, okay, yes, I know that God is in the saving business. I know He's called us to make disciples. That's what He's commanded us to do. And yet, how to do a lot of things. And how does that carry on into my own individual personal life? Man, there's times I just feel so clueless. And so what He says here, He says that you walk worthy, or like you're supposed to. That would lead me to understand that I need to be equipped, that I need to have the right tools. Anybody else? If I'm supposed to do it worthy, that means I can do it unworthy, right? So I can do it right or I can do it wrong. I can do it like I'm supposed to or like I'm not supposed to. So I want to be equipped. I want to have the right tools. This is that you would walk worthy of the vocation or the job or whatever it is that I've called you to do. So that means there's a right job for me. That means I could be living my life sold out to something that God has not called me to do. Does that blow your mind? Some people get 20, 30 years down the road and they realize, man, I've been doing this for myself and no wonder I've been miserable. Maybe because God hasn't called you to that. He's called you to something else. And so, man, I look at this. Get the right tools. Get the right job. And then He says something interesting. After He says all this, the very next thing He says, oh, by the way, you need to be humble. In verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. What? Forbearing, oh, here it is, one another in love. So the whole time He says, walk and do it appropriately, do it worthy. The whole time He says to do all these things and to do the vocation with your call, He says, oh, by the way, you're not the only one doing this thing. Look around. Look around. We're not alone. Because what God has called you to do and what God has called me to do is the exact same. Now, He says, you got to have the right tools and you got to have the right job, but you got to have the right people around you. Relationships. And that's what you find here in this passage. Now, He says, interesting, He says, why lowliness and meekness? Why long-suffering? Because there are, I call them extra grace people, EGPs. There's just some people that you just need to get a little extra grace to. Right? That you're able to suffer long, that you're able to endure. That's what that word long-suffering means. You endure it. There's just some people you have to endure. And then forbearing. I'm not talking about in-laws. But if that, I'm just kidding. All right, so forbearing one another. He says a lot of the same things in Colossians 3. You can go check that out on your own. But then here's the key, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. That means you labor to maintain unity within the body of Christ. And man, that's one of our characteristics as a church. We want to always maintain unity, right? Because division is going to come. People will fail you. People will mess up. I will fail you. But man, we want to endeavor to keep the peace. Why? Because when we have the unity and the Spirit and bond of peace, that means we're all going the right direction. Does that make sense? That means we're all going the right direction. Not necessarily you doing this and you doing this and you doing this. And then there's no unity. No, we all want to be going the right direction. We got to be unified in this thing. And now look what He says in verse 4. There is, how many? One body. There's one church. Now, He's talking about church proper, but He's also talking about the local church. There's one church. There's one body. There's one Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. Even as you're called in, one hope. What is hope? It's confidence. It's an expectation, a certainty of something yet future. One hope of your calling. Verse 5, there's one Lord, and there's one faith, and there's one baptism, and there's one God. You think God's trying to get us a point here? It's about unity. It's about one. It's been centrally focused on one thing, one God, a Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So when I look at this, He says, okay, be busy, be about this. Live your life solely, completely. That's what He says in verse 1. Appropriately, according to you, to the calling, the vocation with you are called. So get the right tools, do the right job, with the right people, verses 2 and 3. And then He reminds us in verse 4. Hey man, we're all going the same direction through the same body. The same Spirit of God is leading us. We have the same hope. In other words, we expect the same result. At the very end of our calling, we serve the same God. We have the same faith. We are baptized under the same baptism. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. And he says, one God. We all ought to be focused on these singular things. But then he says something interesting in verse 7. What's the very first word? But. God sticks his but in there. And he says, but. So he's going to go the opposite direction. He says something interesting. But unto every one of us is given grace. So he goes from this church unified, all everybody together, and then he singles us out. Oh, by the way, in the midst of all this unity, in the midst of all of this, let me just single you out. Look what he says in verse 7. But unto every one of us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've accepted him as your Savior, the Bible says that God has singled you out and has given you grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That God has begun to equip you. That's what that word is. That's what he's talking about. He gives you this grace. That's God's working through you. That's what grace is. Right? It's God's working through you. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of grace, or gift of Christ. So he says to be unified. This is how amazing God is. This is amazing. You might want to write this one down. He says you are unified through uniqueness. We are unified through uniqueness. How boring would church be if we were all the exact same person? Dress this way, live this way, talk this way. That's boring. Praise God that he has united us through uniqueness. That every single one of us in this room are unique, and yet we're all going the same direction. We're all serving the same God. We all have the same purpose, and we're all supposed to be living our lives completely sold out to that. That God has supernaturally gifted you. Why? Because he's got a plan for you. Amen? He's got a plan for you. That's why he's gifted you. He's given you these tools to live this out. And so verse 8, he says, wherefore, so he's going to quote Scripture, Psalm 68, verse 18. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Gave gifts unto men. He's quoting Psalm 68:18. It was biblical that God would give you this gift. Way back then in the book of Psalms, it came to fruition after death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where did Jesus go the moment he died? The Bible says he went to the lower parts of the earth. And what did he do? He preached to those in captivity. And he led captivity captive and took him to heaven with him. Verse 9. Now he that ascended, what is it but? That he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He descended first. Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. All right, so he dies. He goes down, preaches to captivity. He takes captivity captive and leads them. And then he gives gifts unto men. All right, so here we go. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, so you want to know what your purpose is? You want to know what your purpose is? My spiritual growth and my purpose is going to be centered within the local church. You want to begin to learn where your purpose finds, you got to get plugged into the local church. Why? Because that's how God set it up. You see, when Jesus left, right, that's the context, right? He descended and then he ascended. When Jesus left this planet, he replaced himself with three things. He replaced his mind with the complete Word of God. That was finished when the book of Revelation was finally complete. Right, he replaced himself with the Word of God. That's his mind. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that. But he replaced himself spiritually with the Spirit of God. And now it dwells inside of us. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. He replaced himself spiritually with his Spirit placed inside of us. But then he replaced his body with us, the local church. Body, soul, and spirit. He replaced himself with those three things. And so in the context, he says, walk worthy of the Lord, right? According to the vocation wherewith you're called, with the body of Christ. And it's always within the body of Christ. And so if you want to be tapped in to your purpose, your spiritual growth, you've got to be plugged in to the local church. Amen? You've got to be plugged in to the local church. Why? Because it's in the local church that the Spirit of God is at work. It's within the local church that we proclaim the Word of God. It's within the local church that we put our hands and feet to work. Amen? That's what it's about. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So here's the gift in verse 12. Here's the result. Equipping the saints. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. And then he says, for the work of the ministry. So it's for the engaging of the saints. You see this? Equip the saints, engage the saints. And then he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify the saints. That's why we come to church. We want to be equipped. We want to be engaged. And man, I want to be built up. I want to be edified. That's why you're here. That's why you should come every single week, so that you get equipped. And so that you can find out, okay, how do I get engaged? How do I get busy? How do I serve the Lord? But man, how do I build each other up? How do I get edified? And how can I edify somebody else? That's the purpose of the church. That's why we're here. So he says, for the perfecting of the saints. You see that in verse 12? For the perfecting of the saints. Did you know you can be perfect? Say, what? That's right. You can be biblically perfect. I'm not talking sinless. It's not possible. You're never going to be sinless, right? We have this flesh, don't we? This flesh that holds us down. This flesh is corrupt. I'm not talking about that. Hold your spot and come with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I encourage you to flip the pages with us if you could, just so you can see what God's word is for you, all right? So 2 Timothy chapter 3, look with me in verse 16. Is everybody there? Say amen. All right, so verse 16 says, all scripture, how much scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, what? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What is biblical perfection? Thoroughly furnished. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's biblical perfection. Why does God give you your word? It's so that you can be equipped. It's so that you can be equipped. All scripture, that's Genesis to Revelation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. It is not man's idea. The Spirit of God wrote it through men, right? Peter lays that out for us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, comma. Here's your definition of biblical perfection. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Fully furnished. Complete furnishing. All right, so go back to chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, then in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So what does that word perfecting mean? It means that you're getting all the tools, that you're getting equipped. That you're getting all the tools, that you're getting fully furnished. Okay, so that means that I'm getting the right tools. The right tools. We got a new refrigerator in the children's building. I say new. It's quite used. But it's new to us. So we got a new refrigerator over here. And it got delivered. And it wouldn't fit through the door. And so, I mean, common sense, take the door off, right? Those doors are heavy in the children's building, just in case you didn't know that. They're extremely heavy. So I'm like, man, I can knock this out. Just go ahead and go. I can finish this on my own. So I start taking the hinges out. And so I'm looking around for the tool to do that. What do you need? You need a screwdriver or a chisel or something like that. I couldn't find one anywhere. So I finally found one, but all it had was the Phillips head on it. So this is accomplishing much. So I'm using this, and then I'm just banging on it, just with my palm of my hand. That hurts. So I'm looking for a hammer, couldn't find anything. So I run outside and I find a big stick. And so I look like a bonehead with this, and I'm just beating on this thing with the stick, and this weak stick. And I finally got the job accomplished, right? It took forever to get this thing done. And I just, man, you need the right tools to accomplish the job, don't you? It is hard work trying to do the right thing with the wrong tools. And let me tell you, that's why some of you are struggling. That's why some of you are struggling. You want to serve the Lord with everything you got, and yet you're not equipped to do it. You got some of it, but you just need equipped. So that's why I want to encourage you, get discipled. Let's get discipled. We're going to have a Casa discipleship class next month. Man, sign up for that thing. Plug into this thing. Learn what discipleship is. Get discipled. That's how you get equipped. Come to Sunday night. You want to learn how to study your Bible so you can get equipped so that God, so you're not just feasting off of what I'm giving you, that you can get in the Word of God for yourself so that God can equip you. Man, you come Sunday night. We're going to teach how to get in the Bible yourself. Study that thing out for yourself. You need the right tools. Amen? Man, it's frustrating to do a job without the right tools. It's frustrating. And so he says, why do we come to church? For the perfecting of the saints. Why? Because God equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. Did you get that? I know you've heard that. It's probably on Facebook everywhere, but it's true. God equips the called. He never finds the person that's fully equipped. He never does that. He says, I'm going to call you, and then I'm going to equip you. It's consistent through Scripture. Did he do that with Adam? Remember that? Hey, Adam, here's what I want you to do. Here's the job I want you to do. Oh, let me give you a helpmate. Help you accomplish that. I'm going to equip you to do that. That's exactly how it does. So, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You see that in verse 12? For the work of the ministry, for the engaging of the saints, right? To do the work. Huh. Get the right tools to do the right job. Here it is, to do the right job. And here's the other side of our analogy, if I can use that. There's a lot of people that have all the tools, and they're doing the wrong thing. They know what to do. They've got all the tools. They know what the Bible says, and yet when it comes to putting it into practice, they don't do a thing. They're not serving the Lord. They're not making disciples. There's no growth in them. Man, when we come here, it's to be equipped, but it's also to launch out. Amen? It's to get busy. It's to be engaged, the saints, to do the right job. All right, so two questions you got to ask yourself. First one is this. What has God called us to do? It's important that you ask that question first. Why? Because my purpose is going to be centered through the local church. So what has God called us to do? All right, that's your first question. So hold your spot. Come back with me to 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We got to see this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Speaking of God, speaking of Christ, he says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. This is a plural word, isn't it? He saved us. He's called us. Not according to our works. Not according to your ability, by the way. Not according to what you do, but according to his own purpose and grace. Why does God call us? It's according to his purpose. It's according to his grace. Well, that ties with exactly what we read over in Ephesians chapter 4, where he's given us his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This was set in motion before the world even began to spin, before God even called it into existence. This was his plan for you. That's what his calling was for me, for the church. So my purpose, our purpose, let's say it that way, our purpose, the church's purpose, will always coincide with God's purpose. Always. Always. So our vision should always coincide with what God is accomplishing in men through us. Always. I think I counted a while back, I think there's 11 or 12 church growth books in my library downstairs. And they're all junk. They're all junk. Because the only church growth book there is this one. No church is ever going to be the same. So, man, what's our vision here? Go, bring, build. I could write a book, Go, Bring, Build, and other churches can buy that book and try to apply that and put it on their shirts and everything, and you know what? That's going to fail miserably. Because God didn't give that to them. God gave that to us. Because it coincides with his purpose here. So what has God called us to do? And our purpose is going to line up. And so you want to know what your purpose is? Here it is. You can find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. And even into verse 19. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's it. You are a minister, and you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So what's 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Anybody? All my discipleship peeps? You got this verse? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then he says in verse 18, and all things are of God. And all things become new. That means all things are of God. That means your purpose in life is not based in who you used to be. It's in who God has made you to be today. Amen? It's not based on your past. It's not based on who you used to be. It's on who God is making you to be today. If you're a new creature in Christ, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. That means everything in my life is about Him. It all glorifies Him. It points to Him. Every decision I make, every word I speak should be about Him. And then he closes out that verse saying, hey, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. That's your purpose, church. That's your purpose, HBC, the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, seeing men and women reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. So what has God called us to do? Reconcile the world to Christ. That's your purpose, church. That's our purpose. And if my spiritual growth and my purpose are centered in the local church, then that means that's my purpose and that's your purpose. So I told you there were two questions you needed to ask, right? The first one, what has God called us to do? Here's your second question, what has God equipped me to do? All right, so I know my purpose. I know the end result, the hope of the calling. I know the hope of the calling. The end result is people coming to Christ, men and women coming to Christ, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and launching out to do the same, right? Making disciples. I know it's the end, but that's the calling. Then what has God equipped me to do? How do I go about doing that? Because Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says that God's given me grace. Each and every one of us in this room has been equipped in a different way. So how has God equipped me? See, my role within this ministry of reconciliation, my role is going to be determined by how God equips me. It's going to be determined by how God equips me. And so I was talking to somebody this week about this passage. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of course, when I'm talking to this person, they didn't know this. It's already on my notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look with me, and man, I really want to read the whole chapter. We just don't have time for this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. See that? Remember what he said in Ephesians chapter 4? There's one Spirit. That's okay. There's one Spirit, but God gifts us many different ways. There's like diversities of gifts. There's diverse ways that God has gifted us. Verse 5, and there are differences of administrations. That word administration means the function of those gifts, right? So God equips us in different ways. God has equipped Jen Lamb completely different than he's equipped me. And praise God for that, because church would be boring if we were the same, right? Right? Okay, so just making sure we're all on the same page. It would be completely boring, but so God equips her, God equips me, God equips Larry. God equips us all differently, which means that we all function differently. We all function differently. There's different administrations, but the same Lord. Man, is this sounding familiar? But the same, it's like the Spirit of God wrote this book, right? It's the same Lord. And then he says in verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, right? The way and the intensity in which you carry out this work, right? But it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, or where it's made known, where it's brought to light, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So every one of us has been given the Spirit. Every one of us has been given this gift to profit withal. And he goes on and he begins to list them. a lot of different things. And he says, skip down to verse 12. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, that's all of us, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Unity through uniqueness. That you are unique. You are special. And God has equipped you in a special way for this church and for this body. And maybe that's where you are, saying, I don't know what God's equipped me to do. I don't know what that is. You remember when Moses was at the burning bush? Remember that story? When he's at the burning bush and God tells him to take off his feet. He's standing on holy ground. And then God says, hey, you're going to go back into Egypt. I know you've been gone for 40 years, but you're going to go back. And you're going to lead my people out. And Moses has a stuttering problem, right? He can't speak very well. And he's got all of these excuses. And he goes, wherewith am I going to lead your people out? How am I going to do that? Wherewith? What tools do I have? Wherewith? What do I have? And God says to him, what's in your hand? It's a shepherd's staff. He's been leading sheep for 40 years out in the wilderness. He goes, what's in your hand? Sometimes God will take what you're naturally gifted at and supernaturally gift you. We'll take that to an extreme. And so he goes, hey, you're naturally gifted to lead sheep. I'm going to supernaturally gift you to lead people. And he does it, right? He went through a lot of valleys, a lot of mountaintop experiences, went through some hard times, but he did it because God equipped him to do it. It's exactly what God wants to do in your life. It's exactly what he wants to do in my life. He wants to equip us wise to get us busy to do the work. We aren't all equipped to do the same thing. Praise the Lord for that. We're not all equipped to do the same thing, but we are all called to do the work. Every one of us, we're called to do the work. That's why we need children's workers. Some of you are not geared for that. We don't want you there. We don't want you there. If you're not geared for it, don't go. But maybe that's where God's equipped you. Get your tail there as fast as you can. Let's get equipped. Let's labor there and serve and minister to our kids. Some of you, say, you know what? I'm a servant. Man, I'm all about cleaning the building, and we need you, because I tend to be messy, right? So we need you. We need the lawn mowed. We need people to teach. We need people to preach. We need people that are being trained up to be sent out to start other churches. Maybe that's not you. That's fine. Plug in here. Every one of us has been gifted. Every one of us has been equipped. Plug in here. Whatever that is. There should be no spectators in God's in the body of Christ, right? You are not healthy when part of your body isn't working, right? It holds you down. It slows you down. You have to learn to compensate. And yes, you can still move and you can move forward. But let me tell you this. It hurts when you're not here. It hurts. There are voids that have to be filled, and this has to be done, and this has to be done, and this phone call has to be made. It hurts. But man, when we're all working side by side, what happens? The body grows. And it matures. And it becomes very, very fruitful. All right, so I need to speed up. All right, go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. The last part of that verse says, for the edifying of the saints, for the building up, right? To promote the spiritual growth of another believer. That's what he's talking about. So I'm going to get the right tools. I'm going to do the right job so I can be with the right people. And let me tell you, these are the right people. Amen? The body of Christ, that's the right people. All right, so if my spiritual growth and my purpose is going to be centered in the local church, that means I'm going to be equipped, I'm going to be engaged, I'm going to be edifying. But then verse 13, he gives us some perspective here because the local church should produce at least two things. Here it is, the first one, it should produce unity, and the second one is maturity. The local church should produce unity, and secondly, maturity. Look what he says in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto, here's that word again, perfect man. You see that word perfect? It's also translated in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 as them that are of full age. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, them that are of full age. In other words, mature unto the measure of the stature, that's the maturity or age or size of the fullness of Christ. That word fullness means complete, completeness, of the completeness or the fullness of Christ. So verse 13 again, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Everybody say unity. Okay, that was weak. Say unity. Unity. We got to be unified. That means unanimous. That means oneness. That means you discover where you belong. You belong here. That's half the battle, isn't it? Feeling like you belong. Man, this is where I belong. This is my peeps. This is my church. This is where I grow. This is where I serve. This is where I'm equipped. Then he says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That means we're all believing the same thing. We're all speaking the same thing. He says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Be unified, that you all speak the same thing. Guys, let me tell you, we do discipleship, one-on-one discipleship, because we want to share life with life. We go through these lessons too, because we want to make sure we all believe the same thing. We want to make sure we're all saying the same thing, going the same direction. Right? So believe the same thing. That's the faith. And then he says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That means we're going the same direction. We're chasing Jesus. I want to search out Jesus. I want to know Jesus. So, guys, can we agree that's where we need to be unified? Unified in the faith. Here's what the Word of God says. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to live it. But I'm also going to be unified because we're all going the same direction. Wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be. So I want to search him out. I want to be wherever he is. I want to seek him. And the only way that I'm ever going to really know Christ is what he says, the knowledge of God. We're not talking about knowing about him, not being able to quote a lot of verses. I'm talking about you knowing him, right? He says that in 1 John. He says it's the fathers that know him. It's the mature ones that know him. To know Christ isn't to know about him, but to have a relationship with him. And Philippians is very clear. You want to know him, you're going to be a partaker of his persecutions. And you're going to be a partaker of his sufferings. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. You want to know him? Guys, we got to be unified in that. Amen? And so our vision, go, bring, build. Go where the people are. Bring them into fellowship. Bring them into relationship with Christ. Fellowship with the body of Christ. And build them up through discipleship to go out and do the same. That's our vision. Go, bring, build. It's so simple. So that's unity, but then he says maturity. You see that in verse 13? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That word perfect, remember what does it mean? What does it mean? Fully equipped, right? Brought to maturity, full age. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. It's the same exact Greek word. Unto the stature, the measure of the completeness of Christ. Now guys, this is the big one. So if unity helps me discover where I belong, then maturity helps me discover who I am in Christ. Maturity helps me understand who I am in Christ. I want to be mature. I want to be grown to a full age. Growing to understand that I am, here it is, you're complete in Christ. You're complete in Christ. That means that He is sufficient. That means that He satisfies. And that He completes. Remember that movie, Jerry Maguire? You complete me? That's Him. He completes you. You're complete in Him. That means you don't need Jesus plus anything else. No, I am satisfied in Christ. That's true maturity. What do the little kids want? They want what they got plus more at all times. Right? Christmas is proof of this. 15 presents? Is that it? Yeah, that's it. That's it for next year too. We all get that way though. God is this it? I'm supposed to be satisfied with this? Yeah. I'm satisfied because of who He is and what He's done in my life. I don't need any more. See, we want to have church, we want to have a relationship with God, but then we want to go do our own thing. He says, you can't do your own thing and be walking in purpose. You can't do your own thing and be complete in Christ. Because when we choose to depart from Christ to chase after another thing, what we're saying is he was not enough. He did not satisfy. He did not complete me. I didn't feel complete. I went and chased after something else. That's what true maturity is. In other words, I'm being content, right? And maybe I rephrase that. I'm being satisfied. Not in what I lack. I think a lot of times we mess this up. I'm content. Yeah, I could be missing a few things. I'm content, yeah, about the things I lack. No. That's not biblical contention. That's not being satisfied. Because then you're still focused on what you're lacking. But I'm fine, God. I'm cool. I'm chill. I'm fine with just having this. That's not what he's talking about. Being satisfied means that you're not happy with what you lack. Being satisfied means that you don't lack. You don't lack. You've got what you need. That's what true biblical content is. That's what being satisfied, that's what being complete in Christ means. This means that I don't lack. Then I'm focused on that. I don't lack anything. Why would I want to go chasing after anything else? I've got everything I need. I've got Jesus Christ, the Lord, the living Savior, the creator of the universe. He is my God, and he's dwelling inside of me. What more do I need than that? I'm complete in him. And so here's what happens when I get discontent. I quit. Right? Discontent always leads to apathy. You're not happy at work, you quit working as hard. Right? That's how it works. You're not happy in the relationship, you quit. I'm not satisfied here, so I'm going to go get it someplace else. Discontent always leads to apathy. And you turn around and you walk off. Well, I would never get divorced. No, you've just been divorced for 15 years and living in the same house. Right? Or I would never leave the church. No, you left the church a long time ago. You just show up every Sunday. Well, I would never do. I'm going to tell you, when you're discontent and you're not satisfied, it always leads to apathy. It always leads you to just not care about it, and you care about yourself. That's why he says we are equipped, we are engaged, and we are edifying. Why? Because we want to be unified and we want to be a mature body. Because immaturity, here's where immaturity takes you. You ready? Real quick and we're done. We're out. Real fast. Chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. That we henceforth be no more children. You see that? That implies growth, that we be no more children, that we become mature, that we grow, that we continue to move forward, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, unity and maturity within the church, guys, it protects us from the winds of doctrine that are going to blow. Because let me tell you, they're going to blow. The winds of doctrine blow. Listen to the radio. Turn on TV. Watch YouTube. Turn on Facebook. The winds of doctrine are going to blow. And the immature individual that refuses to grow in the Lord, that refuses to be equipped, you watch it. You watch their lives. It says they're tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. They're over here. 3 months later, they're over here. They're over here. And then one day you look, and they're nowhere. They've been carried off by every wind of doctrine. And it's sad, isn't it? It's sad. If I'm not grounded in the faith, if I'm not settled in the truth, one day I will believe the lie. I will. That's why, guys, I never say, take my word for it. You should take all this stuff, write it down, and study it out for yourself. Amen? Because if I could talk you into it, somebody's going to come right alongside and talk you out of it. I'm not into talking you into it. Let's just see what the Word of God says and stand on it. Amen? Let's be unified. Let's be mature. Unity and maturity allows me to have my head screwed on straight. Look what he says in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, Who's the head? Christ. Who's the head? Christ. No, who's the head? Christ. Because if Christ isn't the head, then I make myself the head. And let me tell you, my head wants to take my feet a lot of different places. My mind, my will, my desires want me to do a whole lot of different things. But when Christ is my head, the head dictates where the body goes. And so it's only through unity that we all speak the same thing. It's only through maturity that my head gets screwed on straight. And you guys know verse 16, so we're going to read it and we'll close out. From whom, speaking of Christ, the whole body. How much of the body? It's important that we all be unified, right? The whole body, fitly joined together. That means God has ordained this. God has orchestrated this. I look amongst you, guys, some of you, most of you, I would not have a normal relationship with outside of this building. Outside of this local church, I wouldn't have a normal relationship with you. Why? Because our paths don't normally cross. And yet God says, you know what? This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring this person here. I'm going to bring this person over here. Why? Oh, this body needs this person. Oh, this body needs this person. That's why we do it. Right? So we're fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies. That word compacted means knit together, right? It means knit together. It doesn't mean what you thought it meant. All right, so compacted by that which every joint supplies. That means every part, every piece, every connection that we should all be working in tandem. No, we're not all doing the same thing, but we're all going the same direction. We're all accomplishing the same purpose. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. And wherever God has placed me with the body, that's where I'm going to be sold out. And that's what I'm going to do. Because that's what happens. Look at the last part of the verse. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. You see that? Edifying of itself in love. My dad had a stroke. He had a stroke right in the center of his brain, which meant that the left side of his body says, I'm done. Left leg, no movie. Left arm, no move. He had a little droop to his mouth. So he's going through physical therapy. And so now he's able to walk. Funny, but he walks, right? He has to do all this. He can now move his elbow and a little bit of his fingers. But no function there. I mean, he's just movement, but no use. Does that make sense? Movement, no use. But guys, sometimes as a church, we get that way. We can get that way. And you know what's helping him? It's not always the physical therapy. It's the rest of his body saying, you can do this. I need you. I want to be able to lean on you. You can do this. And so what happens? As it's beginning to do more, guess what? It's happening faster and at a faster rate and at a faster rate and at a faster rate, because when it begins to all be put together, it edifies itself. And so what happens? He walked out of the hospital under his own power. How amazing is that? That's pretty awesome. Man, what a great picture for us, because we get some parts of our body that hurt. Some of them get apathetic and some of them just say, you know what, I'm done. I quit. You know what? The body of Christ engages them and push you forward and push you forward and encourage you. You can do it. We need you. We're relying on you. We need you. So when we come together, guys, it's to accomplish our purpose, our purpose, our purpose. It's the ministry of reconciliation. What has God equipped you to do here to help us accomplish that? Every one of us should be building relationships. Every one of us should be sharing the gospel. But man, we as the body of Christ need to work together in tandem and move forward and serve the Lord with everything we've got. So when we come together, it's to be equipped, it's to be engaged, and it's to be edified. Does that happen for you today? I hope so. I hope you have a lot better tools that you can pick up and take with you and put in your pocket and use. Put into practice. Man, we need each other. And I need you. That is for sure. So let's stand together. We'll be dismissed. So we're getting ready to go our separate ways. We're going to go watch your game or go sit in your lazy boy recliner. That's fine. That's cool. Rest. God gives us rest, right? Man, if God did business with you today, if God is stirring in your heart, don't leave. Let's get that taken care of. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to meet him. So we're gonna pray. We're going to be dismissed. And Dave Shelby's going to be here. And Taylor's going to be here. And Levi's going to be here. To stand right up here. You need somebody to pray with. They're right here. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or whatever. They're going to be right here to pray with you, to open the Word of God with you and share with you, how can I meet Christ as my Savior? Or maybe you need to talk about something else where, man, you know what? I'm struggling in this area. Man, reach out to them. Grab one of the ladies. Grab one of them and say, hey, I just want to know a little bit more. Mary's right here. She'd be happy to open the Bible up and walk you through this stuff. Man, can we leave with purpose today? Knowing our purpose. You know it now, don't you? You know our purpose. But now let's begin to find out, okay, how has God equipped me specifically? And the only way you're going to find that out is by being in his book and being in his word. Amen? Man, what a great day. What a great passage of scripture. I hope you're encouraged. That's a fire me up passage. That's good stuff.